Ebenezer family and friends. It is just a blessing to be able to connect with you one more time during this or with this virtual connection. The Lord has been wonderful. Any hallelujahs out there? I was going to tell you, put in the chat hallelujah, but that's a long word. But I got some quick typers. If you put it there, you can put thank you, Jesus, just for another day that we can share together. I just want to thank you, if you're a first-time visitor, for being here with us. And please, if you are being pulled at in your heart to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, man, go to our website, reach out to someone that you can know more about Jesus. That is our desire, that more souls be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth of Him. And we just thank you, as always, for your continual prayers and your encouragement. Also want to thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com, interacting with us with the app. It's just been a blessing again to have a church family that we are being able to reach out, not just in our in-person services at 8:45 or 10:45 on Sundays, but we're able to reach out virtual and Bible studies during the week. So I just want to personally thank you for that. And also want to thank you for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. So however that giving is being manifested, maybe it's volunteering time, maybe it's praying and interceding for someone, maybe it is a physically giving, we just want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart, from the body of Christ, from Ebenezer Church family. And I want to remind you, on last Sunday, we were preaching from Joel. We dealt with fasting, learning through fasting, and Lord put on my heart to proclaim a fast for these 2 weeks leading up to revival. So I want to thank you for praying and asking God to speak to you about how you should fast and how you should participate during this time. And we're just believing, want God to speak to our hearts, the things that we need to change, repent and change within our lives. And also that the ministers that are coming in really speak powerfully to the body of Christ. Those ministers that are coming on that fourth Sunday in this month, we've got Keyshawn Niblett coming at our 8:45 service to speak into our lives. We've got Paul Milton. Pastor Paul Milton will be on online at 10 o'clock. And at our 10:45 service, we've got Evangelist Dr. Daryl Hunter will be coming in. And then on that Monday, we've got a pastor that's coming in at 7 o'clock in-person service, Pastor Lee, to speak into our lives. So I just want you to please continue to pray. And I know that the Lord is going to do a wonderful thing. Well, I am thinking about the word. Yeah, you've seen that ear that's right beside me. We're going to talk about hearing. We're going to talk about listening, that whole process. And so I want our hearts to be prepared as we jump into another portion of God's word. See you soon.
This morning, our scripture lesson will come from Psalm 85. Psalms 85, and I'll be reading beginning at the fourth verse. It says, "Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." This is the part I like, verse 10. "Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and he will make his footsteps our pathway." Amen. Amen.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Yeah, much more than that emblem on your chain. But it means I'm free, yeah, from the chains of slavery. And the blood is shed won't let my sins remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified. Showed us love that this world had never known. Oh, a love divine, so divine, true a love you never find. So that we might live, love came and died alone. Hallelujah. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, gave all on Calvary, he did it just for me, just for me. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, gave all on Calvary, he did it just for me, just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus came and did it just for me, just for me, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me, just for me, just for me. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me. Y'all help me sing this. Just for me, just for me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me, just for me. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me. One more time, one more time. Just for me, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me, just for me, just for me. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me.
We're back together in this topic, Renew Our Mind, How We Learn. And I'm telling you, it's been a blessing to me just to peruse the scriptures with you and learn how God teaches us. On last Sunday, we were dealing with that fasting component, that foundational point of being able to open up ourselves to really hear the voice of the Lord and walk in it. Remember our memory scripture, Romans 12:2. We've been reading it into our minds so it'll seep down into our hearts. So reading it into our minds so it'll seep down into our hearts. So wherever you are, maybe you're out somewhere, maybe you're on vacation, you're like, you know what, I want to get this word today. I want you just to repeat it with me, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is so important to reading it out loud so we can read it into our mind and seep into our heart. And I'm telling you, it's going to become so ingrained. We're going to be able to use that on a daily basis. Today, we're moving to the New Testament, a new portion of the scripture in the New Testament. And I'm telling you, I really want you to focus in because we're going to deal with the teachings of Christ today. So I want you to go with me to Matthew 13 and 23. Matthew 13 and 23. And while you getting prepared to walk through these scriptures with me, I just want you to please go on a word of prayer with me. Father, I just thank you for this day that you've made, Lord. I thank you that we can rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for just some of the things that we take for granted. Just you waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. Having a reasonable portion of our health and strength. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I lift up those who are viewing, listening in. Maybe there's someone out there that doesn't know you. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead. You said they would be saved. Lord, thank you for still being in the saving business. Now, Lord, as we approach your word, we need you. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, you have been with us. You are with us. And I thank you for being our teacher and our guide, leading us into all truth. Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We love you, Lord. We love you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put in the chat, amen, wherever you're sitting at or standing, say amen. Mark or Matthew 13 and that 23rd verse. Matthew 13 and that 23rd verse. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. An amazing scripture, Matthew 13, 23 again. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I want to speak from a title today, Hear the Word. Hear the Word. The time frame is around 32-ish, and I put that 33. Most theologians agree that's when Christ is crucified. So Jesus is well into his public ministry. So much has happened in this ministry. Man, they've seen miracles, signs and wonders, teachings. They've heard teachings like none other. But he's had to deal with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the more logical, along with the Sadducees, of the scriptures, but it had not entered into their heart. And so they were constantly trying to battle Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, with a battle of wits. You know, who is the smartest? So he has to deal with those. And then just previously in the scriptures, before we step into where we are today, Jesus has to define his true disciples, the true believers, so much so that he has to deal with his mother and his brothers. They are desiring to talk to him. And Jesus says, well, who is my mother and my brothers and my sisters, but those who do the will of God? So as we transition, we're really going to learn the renewal of our mind by really hearing and activating, and that's what we're going to deal with, activating the word within our minds and our hearts. Let me show you as we jump into this first verse of Matthew 13 and 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. In the chat, if you're able to get there, can you just type hear, H-E-A-R. This very powerful word that we're going to deal with. Matthew 13, 18 again. Therefore, hear, H-E-A-R, the parable of the sower. Wherever you're sitting, just say hear, hear, hear. That's important. Here's our first point. Hearing is active. Hearing is active. I want to define this as we step in this because we're going to be looking at it from various perspectives, this scripture. Webster defines hearing as to perceive or become aware of by the ear. So perceive or come aware of by the ear. Susan C. Young, in her book, The Art of Communication, that this psychologist, she really gets into defining this active hearing component. She says, active listening is a physical process which transcends simply hearing. Your body language speaks on your behalf as to whether you are fully present and engage. And she continues on, and she goes on with six ways that we can know that we are engaged. And I found this profound, because I want you start to apply this to your personal devotion time, to your listening to those that are teaching you. This is going to bless even some college students that are listening, some students that are in school, and you're trying to figure out, man, how can I get better grades on that test? This is a principle, a biblical principle that she pulls out here. The first one is make eye contact. Yes, make eye contact. The virtual platform is amazing because we're more focused in on the eyes. It's like right to us. So we want to make eye contact to receive the word of God, to get it on the inside. The next one is nod your head or confirm, like yes or no. You want to be active in that process. She goes on and said, use your eyebrows and expressions of emotions to show that you're paying attention. So you gotta fight, and because the enemy, we're gonna talk about it, he's coming in and he's bombarding us. So you gotta get your facial expressions to even receive that word, and then lean forward. Yeah, lean into it. It's like, you know, I want it. And maybe sometimes even as I'm teaching and preaching, you may, you know, get closer to the TV if you're looking on it, or you have a handheld device, you kind of bring it up because you want to hear. You're leaning towards to make sure that you're engaged. We're talking about hear the word. Another one that she brings out is listen patiently to demonstrate respect and sensitivity. Yeah, just being patient. In our society, it is a struggle to be patient because we're so quick to having things so quick. My wife looks at Instagram and, you know, they just kind of swipe. It's like, I'm like, hold up. And it's just, you're just kind of moving in and you're just bombarded with images over there. But we got to be patient to demonstrate that patience, to say, you know what, I'm interested in what you have to say and I'm willing to wait on it. And then this final one, open your physical presence to encourage them to continue. Basically what we're saying is, I am there and I'm here to receive. And as we make this comparisons to God's word and being in his presence, we've got to be engaged. Say, God, I am here to receive from you. I know there's a lot of stuff that's going on, but I want to focus. Anybody ever been watching TV or watching a movie with someone, a loved one or a friend, and all of a sudden they want to talk to you while you're watching that film, and they'll carry on a conversation? But if you're that type of person that's engaged in the film, you might say yes or no, but you're really not hearing them. You're really not opening yourself up to hear them, because now you are engaged in what is in front of you and you've kind of blocked out that which is around you. But we've got to side with the word of God, that we're going to lean into it. We're going to hear the word. If we want to understand the things of God, we must first become, hear me again, active with your ears. Yeah, active with your ears. But remember, there's the component, not just physically, but spiritually also. We must focus. Whatever it takes to hear God's word, we've got to decide, I'm going to do it. There ought to be some amens out there. Many people say they just can't understand. Have you ever heard that? I just don't understand God's word. But I've found out that many cases, it's not that they can't understand, but they haven't been active in their listening. Or sometimes they just don't want to hear it. And I'm going to deal with this in the next verse. So many times God's words, we know it impacts us. And sometimes, you know what, it corrects us. A lot of times it corrects us. And sometimes we just don't want to hear. Let me show you in Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Here's the point. Hold on tight to the word. hold on tight to the word. In this first part of this chapter, Jesus kind of just laid out this parable. And now we're getting into the portion that he's explaining it point by point. This actually comes from Matthew 13 and 4, when he just laid it out to the disciples and those that are listening. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Theologian McDonald, he gives a focused view by using a Greek understanding of what was actually happening in this portion. He says they hear the gospel but do not understand it, not because they can't, but because they won't. There ought to be some ouches and some amens and some hallelujahs. So often we found ourselves there, and we have to make sure that, you know what, I am willing to hear the word of God, even if it confronts me in an adverse way. I've got to be willing to receive from the Lord. Notice in the scripture, the birds are interpreted as Satan coming in and his demons coming in to snatch the word from the heart. And the enemy is stepping up his attack. The enemy is trying to do all he can do to keep us from the word, to keep us at a superficial understanding of his word. Man, I heard this song. One of my kids kind of turned me on to this person. His name is Toby Nwigwe and Jabari Johnson. They sang this song, and this gives us really the superficial understanding of people who are living superficial lives in a sense, and they talk about the word, but they're not really too willing to act on that word. He goes on in his song, he says, "Try Jesus, not me, because I throw hands. Try Jesus, please don't try me, because I fight. I know what he said about getting slapped, but if you touch me or mine, we gonna have to scrap. So try Jesus, please don't try me, because I fight. I have no problem," he says, "laying these hands. Try Jesus, don't try me, because I throw hands." There ought to be some ouches out there. Some of you are identifying with this. "Oh," he said, "turn the other cheek. Oh, but that's one part of the Bible that don't just sit right with me. So try Jesus, please don't try me, because I fight." We're talking about hear the word. So many times that is us, that we can quote scriptures and we can go, "Yeah, Lord, I kind of believe in that." But when it comes to applying it, we like, "Try Jesus, but don't try me." Look at Matthew 13:20. "Hear the word. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Here's the point. Check your root. Yes, check your root. At first look at this scripture, it would seem optimal, as we are receiving the word and even telling others about Christ, we want them to receive it and have joy. But please understand, but just being happy or getting happy about the word of God, it is not enough. We need to check our root. I got a little example here. I've got a plant, and this is a fake plant. And please understand that sometimes if you have it in the right light, it'll look like that it's real. But it is not real, because it has no root. There is nothing to feed this particular thing. And so many times in our lives, we can look good. We can look like we are real Christian. But when we check the root, there is no root there to actually feed and grow. So I want you to look at your root. Notice this, Matthew 13:21. It says, "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while." Yes, there are many that look like that fake plant, and they endure for a while, but once you look closely, there's no root. There's nothing to allow the word of God to go up on the inside. There's no foundational point there. And then that second part of 13:21, it says, "Immediately he stumbles." How many have we seen that have been in the fellowship? How many have we seen that started out, but they didn't finish simply because there was no root? God wants so much more from us. Hear the word. John talks about this in his epistle, 1 John 4:4. He says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world." I'm telling you, we've got to know, as we hear the word, we're renewing our mind. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. We've got to know that we are overcomers, that God wants to use us. And as we're hearing his word, we're sharing that word with others, and they can see that the root of God is on the inside, and that we're flourishing and we're growing. Early within that epistle, John also alludes by the Holy Spirit to something else. In 1 John 2:19, he says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." I'm talking about, hear the word. There's so many people that we think are actively listening, that are taking in the word of God, but they don't finish the race. They start off strong. They look like they're going to finish, but they don't get across the line. Look at Matthew 13:22. "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Here's the point. Choking the word. Choking the word. I love that word picture in there. You can see, if you got a Bible or whatever you're looking at, you could kind of just kind of squeeze. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to try to choke the word. He wants to choke it out of our lives. We're here, but there's so many distractions that are amongst us. Any amens? Just put in the chat, amen. Wherever you're sitting at, just say amen. They're distractions. We've got our phones, and we've got our TVs, and we've got our iPads and other devices. We've got internet connect. We've got pursuit of money and the American dream. We've got all of these things that are bombarding us. We've got relationships. We've got our jobs. We've got all these things that are around us. I'm telling you, there's so many things to try to pull us away from hearing the word of God. 1 John 2:15, he goes on to talk about, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Saints of God, we've got to examine how much we're in love with the world, and the fact that we need to come to the point of saying, "God, I need to hear from you." 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." How many times have we chosen to walk in the world and not hear the word of God? God wants us to renew our minds, to be transformed, to be more like him, but it's a fight, it's a struggle. Any amens out there? It's a struggle as we're trying to get through all of this mess that the enemy is throwing out. That 17th verse, "And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." I'm talking about, hear the word. There's a blessing if we actively lean in and said before and say, "God, I need to hear from you. I need the word of God. Whatever it takes, I am going to do it. I'm seeking your face, Lord. I love you. God, Holy Spirit, speak and teach to me." Notice this final verse as we're pulling it together, Matthew 13:23. "But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. This is an important point. Please get this one. Good ground. Can you put it in the chat? Good ground. Because that's what God wants us. He wants us to hear the word so that we can become good ground. Let's look at this. Let's look at this very closely here. The production rate of good ground. Because we all want to be good ground. I want to show you something. 30-fold is actually a 3,000% return. Yes, 30-fold. 3,000% return. If you made an investment, would you want to get 3,000% return? Yes, you would. That's God is saying he wants us to be good for. But look at this. 60-fold is actually 6,000% return. A 6,000% return. And 100 100-fold, it's 10,000% return on the investment. God is like, I want you to hear the word, because I've got some amazing things I want to use you for. I've got some amazing things I want to do in your family. I want to do with those that are around you, simply because you're willing to hear the word of God and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you're taking this seriously. Listen to this. God put this strong on my heart. He says, when we become good ground, we're no longer adding when it comes to fruit, but multiplying exponentially. Now, isn't that good? And again, I want to read that again. When we become good ground, we're no longer adding when it comes to fruit, but multiplying exponentially. I'm telling you, we're growing in the Lord, and it is all worth it. Can you put in the chat, say, it's worth it. It's worth it. Wherever you're at, say, it is worth it. Hearing the word of God and getting that on the inside of us. The disciples saw this exponential growth. Remember in Acts 2 and 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000, can you put 3,000 in the chat, souls were added to them. I'm telling you, that fruit is being produced, and they continually steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Hear the word. That's why it's so wonderful to come to this point of really realizing it's all about Jesus. Jesus is our example of hearing the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God. It was manifested in the flesh. Even Jesus, he taught in John 12, 49, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. John 12, 50. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. This hearing of the word, this manifesting of the word, you know what? It took them past miracles and signs and wonders. It took them past the 4,000 of feeding with them with that miracle, and the 5,000. It took them past walking on water. It took them past speaking to the storm, peace be still. But it took them to a garden called Gethsemane. There in that garden, he cries out. I'm talking about hearing the word and manifesting that. He cries out, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. You know what? He is betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's beaten all night long. But we find him on a cross at Calvary. There ought to be some shouts of hallelujah, thank you, Lord. And there he carries our sins and bears our grief. Because you know what? He is the example of hearing the word. I am so glad that he heard from the Father. There was a thief on the side of him that came to himself and said, you know what? When you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? And aren't you glad that Jesus heard from the Father? I'm talking about hearing the word. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but yet he gets up with all power and all glory for you and me, all so that we could hear his word and we could grow in him. I challenge you to hear the word. Renew your mind. Decide today that whatever I have to do to get an understanding of God's word, whatever I have to do to grow, whatever I have to, whatever I have to clean out of my life, God's word is going to be primary. Praying is going to be primary. Seeking his face is going to be primary in my life, because we can all see the enemy is stepping up his attacks. Maybe you're here and you're listening in. You're like, Pastor, I need Jesus. I realize I don't even have a relationship. Please, Romans 10 and 9 really brings it out. It says if we confess with the mouth of the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, we will be saved. There ought to be some shouts of prayer. Any saved people out there? I'm telling you, that's our first step to really hearing God and walking in what he's telling us to do. That Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace we're saved, and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I am so glad for what Jesus has done for us. And now he's seated on the right hand of the Father. He's praying for us that we will hear the word, that it will get into our minds and our hearts and our spirits, and we will be transformed. Saints, in this season, there's so many people that are walking in darkness, and they need to see the light of Christ in you. So I encourage you today to decide, whatever it takes, as said before, I'm going to dig deeper. I'm going to get in my word. I'm going to spend my devotional time. I'm going to meditate on God's word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to thank him for the opportunity of being his child, sons and daughters. I encourage you, make that step today to truly hear the word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for saving souls. Thank you for delivering and setting free. Thank you for the opportunity of having these 66 books, Lord, and that you want us to learn through hearing, God, to actively hear your voice. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're our teacher, our guide, and you lead us into all truth. And we ask you for forgiveness for so often just making you unhappy, for grieving you. But today, Lord, we want to do better. We need you. As David wrote in the Psalms, he said, create in me a clean heart, renew in me the right spirit. Oh God, renew us today to hear your word and not take for granted what you have spoken by revelation, by illumination before us in these books. Lord, thank you today that you've given us an opportunity to hear the word, and you've given us the authority and power through your spirit, God, to walk in it. Lord, we love you. You are amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I but I but I you know, I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I said what the Lord had for me. Well, I said I wasn't gonna testify, but I did. Oh Lord, but I, oh yes, but I, you know, I said I was gonna testify, but I did to myself what the Lord has done for me. Joy, but I